Our Father, we come before you thanking you for the blessing of our church. Thank you for the blessing of each other. And Lord, we know that no one in this church is more important than another, but we are a body seeking to glorify Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for all who are here this morning. Lord, I pray that as we're here, our focus would be upon you. Speak to us through your Spirit. Open our eyes to hear your truth. Speak to us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a quiz this morning, and your quiz begins consist of most of a history lesson. So if you listened in your history class, good. If you didn't, well, I hope you'll learn something this morning. Your history quiz this morning is what is this person remembered for? What is this person remembered for? Can you remember what this person did in history? Why do we even remember his name? I'm going to begin with a man named Paul Revere. Paul Revere. What do we remember about Paul Revere? He had the midnight ride. Yes, he did. Yes, that's right. And he is forever remembered in that poem by, what's his name? Longfellow? Henry Wadsworth Longfellow? How about Betsy Ross? Betsy Ross. Yes, she did. Made the flag. She made the flag. How about a guy named Neil Armstrong? First man to walk on the moon. Very good. What do you remember the name Michael Jordan for? All right. He was a great basketball player. How about a lady named Harriet Tubman? The Underground Railroad, of course. How about a guy named Louis Armstrong? All right, jazz music, New Orleans. And finally, Benedict Arnold. Traitor. He traded the revolutionaries. These are people that you remember. Even we, and sometimes thousands of years later, we could go back to, of course, Methuselah, who was the oldest man in the Bible. We could go thousands of years into history and even to our own American history and remember these people for a reason. And my question for you this morning is, do you have a desire and a reason that you want to be remembered? Do you have a desire and a reason that you want to be remembered? And this takes away nothing from, I want to be remembered as a faithful man of Jesus Christ the Lord. But what am I going to be remembered for having done for his glory? And that's a question I think that as we look in the scripture this morning, we're going to see some people who are remembered for something in their service to Jesus Christ. And I hope this encourages us to say, how will I be remembered in my service to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't been with us, for the last few years, we've walked through 1 Corinthians. Let me give you an outline or at least some direction. Next year, we're going to be reading through the Bible chronologically together as a church, if you so choose to sign on. I have a reading plan that I'll be providing for you in the next couple of weeks that will walk you through. If you have the Olive Tree Bible app on your cell phone, there is a chronological reading plan in the Olive Tree app that will automatically put you to the right place. We're going to be reading through the Bible together as it's written, and you'll see things in the order they were written, which hopefully will help us navigate through the grand story. And the focal part of our story next year will be the story of redemption. The story of redemption. We're going to look at the Lord's master plan through all of his scripture and how it leads to redemption of a people for God's glory, for him sharing his glory among a people. Now, I was in Lifeway this weekend, and I saw a Bible called the Story of Redemption Bible, and I thought they might have been listening to my secret thoughts because they've already got a Bible ready for us called the Story of Redemption Bible. I don't know if it's good or bad. I haven't, but if you want to take a look at it, you can. I did thumb through it, and I saw some within the text of the scripture, they had certain things of pointing to why this passage was important in the great story of redemption of the Bible. So it looked good, and it's in the ESV if you're going to be reading ESV. So it may be something you want to take a look at. Again, there are ways, different ways to do it. And then next year, the preaching will be from what you have read that week. So what you've read that week, the sermon will be on. And even our guest preachers and in-house preachers will be following that standard as well. So next year ought to be a good year. 2011 was the last time we did this as a church together. I'm looking forward to doing it in 2019 with y'all. So pray about that. This is it's going to take you a lot of hours, but it's going to be hours well spent in your year. And I encourage you to jump on board and be a part of it. But no, it will take you many hours to read through the Bible, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's really worth it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to wrap up the book today, and we will be looking at some of the details of his wrap-up, but I think there are some nuggets that we pull out of it that are very helpful to us. I'll begin in verse 13 for context. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Let me review with you last week. Love is primarily two things. Love is wanting the best for someone and doing something about it. Y'all remember, very good. Love is wanting the best for someone, doing something about it. Perfectly illustrated through Jesus Christ our Lord. But he says, let all that you do be done in love. And I encouraged you last week to go do things in love. Want the best for someone, do something about it. Now I urge you, brothers, you know the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Now I love this because this is history. We might remember Michael Jordan or Betsy Ross or Harriet Tubman, but here we have the household of Stephanas, permanently etched into the Word of God and into all history. And you may not have known a thing about the household of Stephanas as you walked into this building today, but after today you will. Because the household of Stephanas was known for something. And what were they known for? They were the first converts, and they were devoted to the service of the saints. You see it there? They have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. They've devoted themselves to the service of the saints. So here you have a household of Stephanas that will forever be remembered as a serving household. So I know here we have many families. We have families who are in different stages of family life. You might be BC, which is, of course, before children. You might be with children, or you might be directors of children from afar, maybe a little bit afar. But and you might even be without children, and that's fine too. But you are in different stages of family that give you an opportunity to do certain things. And there, as we've talked about, there are many ways in which families can come together and serve the Lord. I can remember in our BC age before children, or even without children stage, you have opportunities to serve in a way because you have time. You have time and you have time. So use that in a way to serve people and serve your church. And I want to encourage you, the household of Stephanas, we don't know much about it. We don't know if they had children or not. We don't know if they were old or young. We don't know much about them. But what we do know about his household is that they served the saints. So no matter where your family is, no matter where they are, I want to encourage you to think in the biblically minded of, well, here are the first converts, and what they gave themselves to was the service of the saints. So let me encourage you this. How will your household be remembered? How will your household be remembered? And it might be remembered as that's the guys that put on the seminar every year for safety. That might be the family that always decorated their house really well, or maybe you'll be remembered as having a nice yard. Maybe you'll be remembered as that friendly librarian. How will your household be remembered? And I think we as Christians need to really work through this. We are going to leave a legacy, like it or not. People are going to remember us a certain way. And I want to challenge each of us in this room to say, I want to be remembered as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it might be in an artistic way. And you see here a display of art. Look, y'all, this stuff takes hours to do. But isn't it great? I mean, the elf even has curly hair. You can't get much better than that. But one of the things that Dennis Buqua is going to be remembered for is this. It's great. And he had some help this year, I know, and some artistic help with this chain link of the hands holding the cars together. And I think David and Michelle were involved in a lot of this too, but with the nail-pierced hands, and praise God here. This is something that people are going to be remembered for. And I can look out at your faces, because I know all of you, and I can say, you know, I'm going to remember Hilton as the guy that would visit anybody any day. And Sylvia, they go together and visit people in the hospital, at their home, when they can't leave their house. You're going to be remembered. And I can remember Miss Shirley behind the organ, play anything, make anything sound good, and have that gift. I remember things David taught me on just how to do things and in a way that I didn't know how to do them. Steve, you know, you've taught me so much and enjoy fellowship with people. I see you. How are you going to be remembered? How are you going to be remembered? And I think it's important as we read a text like this in the scripture to say, Stephanus was remembered for something. What am I going to be remembered for? What am I going to leave here? Is my life bigger than just me? Or am I just walking through my days serving me? Or am I taking resources that God has given me and using them to bless? I see that as such an important thing as we read through a passage like this. The household of Stephanus was remembered. How will your household be remembered? As we wrap up our year of 2018 to live generously, I hope that 2018 has made a difference in your life, that you have lived generously in a way that has helped somebody. If not, you've got a few weeks left. Live generously for the last few weeks and say, I went out with a bang, like a bottle rocket. I went up and ended the year in a bang. Live generously. Do something to be remembered for Jesus' name's sake. Look at verse 16. Not only was the household of Stephanus a household remembered for being servants of the servants, or servants of the saints, Paul gives us an admonition. And he says, now, be subject to such as these. And who are the these he's talking about? The household of Stephanus. So he's saying, be subject to those who are servants. Isn't this so like Jesus speaking? The first will be last, and those who are last will be first. We were reading through Luke as a family last night, and we read through the section where Jesus says, be careful where you sit when you're invited to the banquet. Sit in the lowly places so that you can be brought up. Don't think of yourself so great that you need to be served. Put yourself in a place where you're able to serve. I'll say that again. Don't think of yourself as one who needs to be served, but put yourself in a place where you're able to serve. Church family, y'all have served me over the years so generously. My goal has been to serve you generously and try to give as much as I can to the body and to the building up of the saints of Jesus Christ. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. So when we read a verse like this, we go, all right, the call is to be subject, or to be a servant, or to be under those who are serving others. And so as they're serving others, maybe I help them in their service. As they're serving others, maybe I serve them in a different way because they might be neglecting something at their own home. What does the plumber always have? A leaky faucet. And they might be neglecting something of their own home that you can help and serve them in. This is a way for you to look around and to say, how are the saints serving the body of Christ and doing the ministry of the church? I want to help them. I have a gift that I can help someone else in their home, or in their family, or in their work, or in their schooling. I can help people. And that's what Paul's calling us to do. To every fellow worker and laborer, to be subject and to be a servant. Now remember, subjection is not a dirty word. Our culture tries to make you think if you are not out in front, if you are serving someone or subject to someone or someone's in authority over you, it's a bad thing. It is not. It's a Christian thing. Don't let them call the Christian ethic a bad thing. We are servants, and we choose to be servants in Jesus' name. We are each other's servants in Jesus' name. Look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. You're going to see this idea of co-laborers or workers. The same idea here. And this is one of our memory verses from the year, if you remember. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And y'all can quote this part, I know, how he said, it is what? More blessed to give to receive. Now back earlier in the verse though, you're going to see that word workers. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we help the weak and remember the words of Jesus. There is work and labor, and we're doing it together as a body, serving each other, doing it together. Here's another example, Philemon. Philemon chapter 1, verse 23. Here's the working together idea. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, as so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. My fellow what? Workers. There they are. We are servants. We are workers. We are helping each other. And those things can be simple jobs. I can't tell you the simple things that have brought me joy that people have done. Every year, Miss Lois email, y'all know from White Castle. Every year she brings me a little tin of cookies. And I know those things. I know it takes her a couple hours to make. Because this is not like a little cookie or two. This is a tin of cookies that takes me like 2 weeks to eat. Me, 2 weeks to eat. This is a tin of cookies. And she does that. And it brings me joy every year. And I always return the tin and I write it on the top of it and say, refills are appreciated. I always go back to her and let her know. Always be refilled. Simple things. They make a difference. They make a difference. When you offer to do something for someone, it makes a difference. When you offer to do a simple task that might take you a little time, it might take you a lot of time. I can't tell you how what a blessing Mary has been. Are you here, Mary? Where are you? You have been to Allison because she was teaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesdays, teaching all the time. And Susan, you're in here too. Y'all have helped her immensely on Sunday nights and saying, look, we're going to step up. We're going to be a part. We're going to help with this Sunday night children's ministry. That is huge. I just don't know. It's huge. Stuff like that is so great that you do. We have the opportunity, a couple men of our church. I'm going to be out a couple Sundays in January and February. A couple men of our church. Talk to them. They're going to fill the pulpit. Bring God's word to you. So excited for them. But that doesn't happen in the midst of 5 minutes. That's not a 30-minute deal. I mean, I've talked to them. They're already preparing. This is an act of service for you. Those things go a long, long way. Be a fellow laborer. Jump in and be part of the work, not a spectator. How will your household be remembered? How will your household be remembered? Verse 17. Back to 1 Corinthians 16. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence. For they've refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. And here again you see this friendliness, this love, this mutual love for each other, that the brothers and sisters in the faith, they know each other. They love each other. They're partners in ministry. You know, one of the reasons why our country has a lot of problems these days, you've got the two big parties fighting each other, and the news networks fighting each other, and the corporations fighting each other, is because everybody's after that power. Everybody's after that dollar. Everybody's after one thing. And did you, y'all remember when the World Trade Center was attacked, they crashed to the ground? You remember right after that, Congress unanimously voted to go do something. Now, whether or not what they voted was right or wrong, we won't discuss. But they were unanimous. Why? Because they had a common goal. We want justice. And together, they were better. And today it's, we don't want a wall. We want a wall. We don't want a wall. We want a wall. We don't want a wall. You don't want a wall. What's wrong with you? You want a wall. What's wrong with you? We're back to that. But when you work together, church, when we work together, we do things better. When there's a common goal, and you look at churches that may have division over the color of the carpet or the song that you sing, you're not worried about the important things. The important thing is ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make it rainbow-colored carpet. It doesn't matter. Minister Jesus Christ. This is what we're seeing. Oh, I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. I love to see my brothers here. We're working together. There's joy. There's refreshment. There is goodness. Verse 19. The churches in Asia send you greetings. There it is. Even further churches send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the churches in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. They're not just greetings. They're hearty greetings. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All right. What you see here is a mutual love and a mutual care for each other. And then we get to a passage that I have thought about a whole lot. And that is the passage in verse 20 that says, all the brothers send you greetings, greet one another with a holy kiss. Now most of us, we just breeze by it. But here's a real question that I want to pose to you. What do we do with this greet one another with a holy kiss passage? And you may think, oh, why are we spending time on a Sunday morning talking about the holy kiss? Well, here's a question for you. How many of you have greeted one another recently with a holy kiss? Some of you have. I know some of you do that. But some of you said, I have never and would never consider kissing anybody else in this church. And I live with some of those people, so I know who you are. Because you're not a kissy person. So what do we do with that? Here's my question. Are we standing in disobedience to Scripture? Because if I pulled out a lot of passages and said, the Bible says to give. And I said, well, if you're not giving to the church, are you standing in disobedience to Scripture? I would say, yeah. Yeah, we are. Or if I said, don't live in and an adulterous relationship. Maybe not. If you didn't do that, would you be standing in sinful area? And say, yeah, living in adultery. Or if I said, Bible says don't lie. Be truthful to one another. Do not lie. If you're telling lies or sowing the seeds of discord, well, the scripture says, greet one another with a holy kiss. So what do we do with that? Are you standing in disobedience to scripture? Well, before we answer that question, let's take a little bit deeper look and say, what does this mean? Because I think the principle here is really important. Not only do we see it here at the end of 1 Corinthians, we also see this same phrase at the end of Romans. We see it at the end of 1 Thessalonians, I believe it is, either 1st or 2nd. One of the Thessalonians books, we see it at 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and we see Peter encouraged to greet one another with a holy kiss. So this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times we see greeting each other with a holy kiss. So what do we do with it? Well, let's look at what it means, and we can look at what the action is. Why would you greet someone with a holy kiss? What is normally the meaning? Let's just take a step back. Why would you greet someone with a kiss? A kiss is a sign of what? So love, affection. Generally, unless your name's Judas, you don't kiss somebody you don't like. Right? You save your affection for people that you truly care about. I kiss my children every night at bedtime. Some of them kiss me back. Because I love them. I kiss my wife. I love her. It is a sign of affection. Now, what the scripture often does, and what it's important for us to see, is that oftentimes scripture takes something that is neutral or secular, not necessarily Christian, a kiss. Non-Christians kiss their children goodnight and their wives goodnight, or good afternoon, or whatever it is. But here scripture says, greet one another with what kind of kiss? Holy kiss. So here we see the Apostle Paul and even the early church taking this neutral thing and then turning into something not neutral. It's a holy kiss. All of a sudden you've turned something not neutral into something Christian. Holy kiss. Let's go back to our little bus. Now the city of Plaquemine may be putting on a Christmas musical, or they put these little these wooden Santa sleighs up at the Bayou Side Waterfront Park, and you see those things, or you see an alligator there up there. I think they've got something like that. So art is by nature it's just something neutral, isn't it? But here you see church members saying, "We're not going to make this neutral. We're going to make this Brother Keith, the engineer of the train. And we're going to make this train be something for a Christian children's musical. And it is going to be turned from something neutral into something God glorifying because it's part of our Christmas children's musical." Or you say, well, music. Have you heard music? Beethoven. Is his music Christian music? Is any music really Christian music? Notes on a page, you can see them. Sharps and flats and bass clefs and treble clefs. Neutral, right? But what did Beethoven do? You know. At the end of all his compositions, he put the letters S, D, G. Wow. That's not his initials, is it? You're very sharp if you figured that out. But it does stand for something. And what does it stand for? Soli Deo Gloria, which is the Latin for "to God alone be the glory." Is Beethoven's music Christian? Absolutely. Because he wrote it for the glory of God. So there's this idea that you take something neutral. I saw Stephen, you took a block of wood and you got your bandsaw, and you danced with that wood around that bandsaw, and you cut something for our Christmas party last weekend, and it was a nativity scene. He took a neutral piece of wood, and he glorified it for God. and said, "This is about Jesus." What will your household be remembered for? Will it be that you took the neutral and you gave God glory for it? What will your household be remembered for? Greet one another with a holy kiss. So here, this kiss is a symbol of love, but not just basic human love, but of Christian, God-honoring love. It is a sign of affection to say, "I love you because you're my brother, you're my sister in Jesus Christ." Now, let me give you some of you germaphobes and touchophobes a little bit of peace, because hopefully I've made you a little bit nervous. Here's the way that I would understand that, and you can certainly disagree with me, but here's the way I would understand that. The holy kiss is a sign of Christian love. It's a sign of Christian love. And I love the fact that people in Plaquemine kiss each other on the cheek. I love that. That's great. But that might not be the way that you show love. You might be a hugger. You might be a hugger. Hug in Christian. Do a holy hug. You might be a handshaker. Man, some of our men are the best handshakers we've got. You walk in, they're right there ready to go with a handshake. Handshake, man. Handshake, a holy handshake in Christian love. Whatever it is, and different cultures have different ways of expressing a greeting. Some will do the fist bump. Some will do the head lift. Y'all seen that one, right? Holy head lift if you need to. Whatever you've got to do. You greet people in Christian love. And you holy head lift because you love them in Jesus' name. And they know you love them in Jesus' name. Express your love to people with holiness because you love them. Show affection. Affection is important. And for even those who say, "Well, I don't like affection," stay away from me. Do something to demonstrate affection to them. You don't have to freak them out by bear hugging them. But you can show affection to them in a holy way because you love them. It's important. It's important. So here's my encouragement for you today. Go and make a name for Jesus in your family and in your deeds. Show affection for people in Jesus' name. Build stuff for people in Jesus' name. Fix leaky faucets in Jesus' name. Make art in Jesus' name. Sing to people in Jesus' name. Play the keys, blow the notes in Jesus' name. Work your job with Jesus' love. Cook your food in Jesus' name. Mow the grass in Jesus' name. In all that you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all, why? For the glory of God. That is the mission of the church. And we are on the same page, doing all for the glory of God. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. And let me close with this thought. The way in which God made His glory known to us most clearly was through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the way He most clearly presented His love is the story of redemption, where we as sinners, loving our sin, have been transformed by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, who died for our sin on the cross, was buried, and rose again. That is the most glorifying thing that we can do, is share with others Jesus Christ and the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as you build, as you cook, as you talk, as you kiss, and as you head lift, proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord to people and use whatever means you can. Become all things to all people, as Paul said, to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. And He is Lord of this church, and you are the church. So be His servants, serve one another. To God alone be the glory. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for glorifying Yourself, for making Yourself known to us Use us as servants to make you known in an even more. And Lord, use our families to make you known. Use our family for your glory. May we not waste our lives on ourselves, but waste them on Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.